that the excuse for pulling out the benches? Do we know what the...
No, we don't know what the excuse for pulling out the benches are, but I know somebody's going to hit those bicycle racks pretty soon. I've watched these people drive at night, and they go down the one-way street wrong, and they try to flip around, and that won't exist long.
Now, are you sleeping outside yourself?
No, sir, actually, thank God, I got my car back, and I'm living in my car.
Any hassles for sleeping in your car?
No, I don't get hassled for anything I do, because, I don't know.
A charmed life, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, sir.
Yes. Well, anything else you want to report about specific incidents you've noticed? Is there a particular police officer who's going after people in this area, or is it a general policy? What's the story?
I don't know. Actually, I try to steer clear of the police, and what they do is their business, and what I do is mine. I've tried for the last 7 years to make myself known in this town. I've gone through the police system. I've gone through the court system. And
mental health system?
Oh, yeah, totally. If I didn't have the mental health system, half of Santa Cruz would be dead by now. Totally.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Thank you, Eric. Anything else?
No, I just want to say to the people of Santa Cruz, God bless you. To the homeless of Santa Cruz, may God funnel his energy into you and keep you going. You know, during this time of rain and during this time of cold, I hope I hear of no deaths, because
no more deaths.
Well, I didn't hear the first ones.
Maybe the guy was shot dead, or he was stabbed, I should say.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm talking about freezing to death.
He died of an overdose. But that's the only two. I think I've heard of a third. There was a third out in Soquel, a woman who died. But thank you, Eric.
Thank you, sir. You have a good day, Robert.
You too, man. Your name, sir?
I'm Nathan.
What's happening here? I see you're sitting in front of the Lincoln Street, you're on the edge of the forbidden zone, the Alibaba Sushi Now fenced-off area.
Yeah, it's them sitting in front of there.
How you doing,
man? Basically what happened is yesterday, I leaned against the wall to talk to a friend of mine.
Which wall, where?
The New Leaf Wall. I leaned against it for a second and talked to a friend, and the cop yelled at me. He came up to me and started yelling at me, threatening to take me to jail if I don't get off the wall.
What time was this?
Oh, in the morning, like around 10, 11 o'clock.
The name of the police officer?
I don't know his name. He's Mexican. He's short, fat, clean cut, dickhead.
Not Chunky Sergeant Baker. Go ahead. We don't know. Anyway, the police officer told you to get off stop leaning on the wall.
He's threatening me, yelling, if I ever catch you leaning on the wall again, you're going to jail. Blah, 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 this and this and that. It's like, oh, screw you guys, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, well, okay, I'm sorry. He's like, why do you always stay on the wall? I'm like, well, it's because I don't make a big part of my day to worry about leaning on that wall. Worrying about not leaning on that wall. I don't really care about that wall. It's a wall, and I lean against it. God forbid. I'm sorry. And like a bunch of people are telling me not to argue with the police officer. It's like, I'm not arguing. I'm discussing.
I heard from Eric earlier that he's seen at least 5 instances of harassment in the last week here.
Oh, yeah.
And I noticed the removal of the benches. Tall fellow I was talking to a moment ago over here.
Did he have a beard?
No, I think he has some medication marks at the side of his mouth. He's, I'm not sure, but I don't think.
Eric, I think he has a big fat beard.
Don't think so. But what have you seen?
I've seen lots of harassment. I've seen cops give tickets for sitting on the sidewalk recently for sitting, for leaning against stuff. I got a ticket the other day for leaning against that wall.
And then he came back and gave you a ticket, or what?
No, the other day, leaning against that wall.
You were given a ticket for leaning against the other wall.
Yeah.
Over at Cottontail. Now, I noticed that nobody is over there now. People been driven away from there?
Because they took away the benches. I mean, that's probably more there to sit down. But I don't know.
You don't have a bench here to sit on. You're sitting near the Forbidden Zone green fence.
Yeah. But it's where I've always sat, so why not?
Right. Well, I think you all should be, of course, taken immediately to incarceration.
I'd agree with you, because we're bad law. We don't abide by the law.
A problem in Santa Cruz, I can see that.
I can see that. Not them crackheads and those murderers that kill people and sell crack.
Our profiteers are supporting the war effort, no.
Yeah, totally. So, I think I should. I hope the cop comes here and does his job, takes me to jail and gives me a ticket. I hope he does. Just so I can get what I deserve.
Any other complaints about police activity or other activity here at Yuppie Planter that you think needs commentary?
I just got here, so...
Welcome to Santa Cruz.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Any camping tickets or hassles for sleeping outside? Or reports of violence you've heard about either from police or other people?
Violence?
Yeah.
Police violence?
Or police violence or from other individuals attacking people or homeless?
No, it hasn't been violent here at all. It's just been the same game as always. We go somewhere, they tell us we can't be there. We move, and we go somewhere else, and tell us we can't be there either. It's kind of convenient the benches aren't there anymore. I wonder why that happened, huh?
Did this happen at the same time as these bike things were put in, or was it, you think, independent of that?
No, the bike things happened before that. I think that was just, they put that in to keep a clear space to kind of watch us, or had no cars parked there, you know? The benches were just took out blatantly to tell us to leave. Well, to make it so we have nowhere to sit, pretty much.
Your name is?
Samuel Bretzel.
Anybody you know have been ticketed here in the last week or hassled?
Yeah, I got ticketed yesterday.
For?
Eating against the wall.
Which wall?
That wall, New Leaf wall. It's not any other wall, it's just this wall, they bother you. You could go lean against Borders wall, they wouldn't say a word. But
our man on the sidewalk here got a ticket for leaning against the... You got a ticket for leaning against the other wall, right? Across the street. You got a ticket for leaning against...
Yeah. The wall across the street, too. I got one for leaning against the Pacific Cook Company wall, too. It's because we were hanging out there.
Were you warned not to lean, or did they just come up and ticket you?
Oh, he just came up and ticketed me. I also got a ticket for sitting on that cement square right there. I've gotten probably about 5 tickets in the last 4 days.
Do you have any of those tickets with you?
No, I rip them up as soon as I get them.
Okay, well, be advised that they'll probably go to warrant, in which case you may have to spend a couple of days in jail.
That's worth it. I'll pay it out in jail rather than pay out of my pocket.
Also, my advice is disqualify Mulligan if you do take your tickets to court. He's the bad judge. He's the one who takes all tickets unless you disqualify him. So ask for any other judge than Mulligan.
Okay. And another thing...
And when you do disqualify Mulligan, you have to specify it's under 170 of the Code of Criminal Procedure, 170.6, actually, 170.6. Keep that in mind. Remember that number if you are faced with an infraction ticket, as apparently many people were for what sounds to me like simple right to assemble behavior down near Yuppie Planter. That's the planter that has been taken over by Sushi Now, Alibaba's Cafe, with the silence of New Leaf, the connivance of the Redevelopment Agency and the City Council and the Downtown Association. Previously, public sidewalks seized and turned over to businesses in order to get rid of the young people. Of course, the young people, for some reason, are not moving. I guess they moved across the street to the Pacific Cookie Company, and the bench was taken out there, apparently, to discourage them. That would be my guess, although I haven't gotten any line on that. When I talk to the police, and you'll hear that later, they didn't have any indication of why the bench was taken out, but seemed pretty clear it was to, for me, it was again, they want to, it's not, this is an attack on a bunch of people. It's not just an attempt to assist two businesses. That's the pretext. The reality is, it's part of the cleansing going on downtown, as I've said for several months. And it's something that I think a lot of people, including columnists for the Metro and the Good Times and the Sentinel, are all turning a blind eye to and ignoring. And that's too bad, because the truth is as it is. Remember that if you disqualify Mulligan, it's 170.6 Code of Criminal Procedure that you want to cite. And they are now requiring you cite the number of the code, not just say, I want to disqualify Mulligan. So you got to remember that number, 170.6. If you forget anything that you want to remember, or you maybe want a phone number or more information about anything you heard on this show, you can give me a call off-air at 423-HUFF, 423-H-U-F-F, 423-4833. And you can also call on air. We got on air lines open, 427-3772 here in the studio, 427-FRSC for Free Radio Santa Cruz here at 96.3. Let's hear some more interviews from a couple of days ago down at Yuppie Planter.
Told me that I was forced to sign the piece of paper or I'd go to jail. It says this is not an admission of guilt, it's a promise to appear. But I didn't promise to appear. I told them I don't promise to appear. In fact, I'm not going to appear. And they told me that I have to sign it. Like, so it's not really a choice, it's more of a thing you have to do. So you're forced to promise, it's a forced contract.
Right. Well, what you can do instead of that is you can request immediately be taken to a magistrate for proof that there's probable cause for what you're doing, for their arrest for what you're doing. But the problem with that is that it's the code section and the officer discretion that they've given the cop that's bad. And they can show that, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think the code section criminalizes leaning against private property. What was the charge? You were
just leaning against the wall or sitting on the planter.
Next time you get a ticket, save it. I want to look at it.
Okay, I mean, no problem. I'm sure I'll get another one.
And the reason these accounts are credible, and these were all gathered a couple evenings ago at Yuppie Planter, is that when I was there 4 or 5 days before that, I heard that there wasn't harassment going on particularly, and the people were equally candid about that. So it's not like these kids are always complaining about what's happening. It's when specific things happen, they note them. And indeed, there may be some, maybe there's a tendency to exaggerate if it seems to be unfair or intensely sustained and so forth. But I do give these accounts considerable credibility because of the specifics I get from them, and also because of the fact that the same youth, Nathan, told me 3 days before that they were not being harassed, and apparently so the harassment has just recently intensified. We're going to hear more about this downtown harassment as we go. Feel free to call in, comment on it. Have you been harassed? Have you seen some problems? Do you feel more comfortable now that there's a green fence with some vines and some flowers at Yuppie Planter, the Alibaba, where the falafel king and the sushi maestro now have their private space on public property? Call in, 427-3772.
Let me advise.
I'm doing this. I'm probably illegal right now as we speak. Probably breaking the law right now. We're probably breaking a few laws I could probably mention that we're probably breaking. So, it's all good, though.
Thank you very much.
Reports of tickets, hassles here at Yuppie Planter.
I'm an asshole.
Boycott Sushi Now in Alibaba's Cafe. The hassling goes on, folks. People are getting tickets for engaging in ordinary innocent behavior in public places. Hey, let's hear about that.
What I don't understand is the 10-foot rule. Because if you can't be 10 feet within the fence, then how can people, like, walk by? I mean, isn't that obstructing the sidewalk?
You can be 10 feet. You cannot sit down within 10 feet of a business. That's the downtown ordinance that was passed by a business-dominated city council.
They just chased a bunch of people that were just standing here away.
Then they were doing so illegally. Unless they were blocking movement on the sidewalk.
No, they were in the corner of right over here, you know?
Then they were engaging in illegal behavior.
Oh, hanging out.
Yeah, hanging out. The criminal hanging out charge. You said that you've seen people get tickets for playing music. When would this happen? When did you know?
Last night.
What's your name?
Norman.
And Norman, what did you see?
These two dudes were just jamming out on their guitars, singing and everything. And this cop comes up, waits till the song was finished, which was actually nice, but then he started being a real dick, telling them that, he couldn't play there and this, that, and the other thing. And the dude's like, all right, we'll pack up and leave. And he's like, not until after I give you a ticket, because this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, he's just being a real dick.
Do you have a copy of the ticket?
No, I don't. It wasn't my ticket.
Do you know the name of the cop?
Klein.
Officer Klein?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got the name on his...
Yeah.
And what time was this?
This was like 6:30, 7 o'clock. The business was closed and he was like 6 feet away from it, and that's the rule. I got the paper in my pocket that says that, you know?
And where exactly did this happen?
Down that way.
This is on near Borders or something?
Yeah, it was right in front of the Joe's Shoes or something like that.
Jackson's Shoes.
Yeah, Jackson's Shoes, yeah.
Did he say he was coming on complaint, or did he say he was coming?
No, he was just patrolling his beat, and he saw him sitting there, and he's like, I'm giving you a ticket.
Now, how long have you been in town yourself?
Like a week and a half.
Have you noticed any other such citations or tickets or hassles?
Yeah, they were hassling me the other day because I was sitting on the sidewalk.
And where was this?
It was down that way, like past, like right by, on the other side of Lulu's, like right where the clock tower is. Right. I was just kind of chilling. I wasn't in nobody's way, and I was just sitting there, you know, relaxing. And the guy's like, "You can't sit here." Blah 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 blah. I was like, "Whatever, dude." You know, so they're just
stepping up the hassle.
Yeah, they're screwing with people for no reason. You know, it's like it's bullshit.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So if anybody gets hassled with tickets, I'm going to give you a number to call. Let me know what's going on. Keep me advised. I'm going to refer to a citation here. The wealthy and ambitious who in every community think they have a right to lord it over their fellow creatures have availed themselves very successfully of this favorable disposition. For the people thus unsettled in their sentiments have been prepared to accede to any extreme of government. All the distresses and difficulties they experience proceeding from various causes have been ascribed to the impotency of the present Confederation, and thence they have been led to expect full relief from the adoption of the present system of government. In the other event, immediately, ruin and annihilation as a nation. Sounds like what the Federalist Papers... It's the Anti-Federalist Papers. Oh, no. Okay.
Thank the root of republicanism.
Any word on your... You're that criminal who Alibaba had cited for, vandalism?
That's due on the 19th. I'll be in court.
And, of course, as I recall, you were actually simply returning a chair to his area, and he was angrily addressing you in a fashion you felt intimidating and out of place. And when you tried to file...
Intimidating isn't quite the word. He said, that wasn't very neat, with his finger waggling in my face, and if you ever do that again, I'll kick the shit out of you. That is a verbatim quote.
So he was actually assaulting you?
Verbal assault, no doubt. Disorderly conduct, most likely. Right. The police wouldn't cite him for it.
Instead, the police cited you for this chair.
Yeah, that had a hairline fracture in the seating area that could have been there previously and probably was.
Anything else you've observed in the last few days?
Well, they removed the benches across the street at the cookie company. That's their big solution to the problem.
Well, seems like step two, yeah.
Yeah, and then what's going to happen? Are they going to pull out all the benches here eventually? Everywhere in the downtown area?
Well, we'll have to bring our little chairs with us.
There is no law against bringing a lawn chair down here and setting it up as long as you're not blocking the...
That's correct. That's
okay.
Correct.
So I thought.
Thank you. We're talking with Sergeant McPhillips, who's...
Robert, I'm not going to do it on tape. I'll talk to you all you want.
Okay. Well, I realize you don't want to be on tape, but I do want... Because I am, concerned about the public, and that's just private information. Sergeant has advised me that he would like to see people not leaning against the wall of New Leaf Market. Now, is this... standing where they are considered leaning?
No,
or no?
Well,
okay.
No,
that's
not.
Okay. So they're leaning.
Really?
Because, again, I, as people who have heard the prior part of this tape will know, there's been a series of complaints, and Officer Klein is with Sergeant Phillips here. And I guess I'm concerned, and you don't know why the benches were removed. You came back onto your watch and you found they were gone. You suspect they're going to be back, you've said. But the question to us is whether, the scene has been driven away from here, as you notice. People are no longer in front of the cookie company, so they've gone back to here. And I hear people getting four or five tickets in the last week for such behavior as sitting on the sidewalk, leaning against a wall, blocking the sidewalk, things of that sort. So, although I don't know if you want to comment, are you not getting it yet? He's making motion, folks. He doesn't want to say anything. I guess I'm getting the feeling that one of your lieutenants or the watch commander is telling you to crack down on these folks. But any confirmation of that, sir? He's reserving the right to remain silent, folks. Well, I'll try to weasel some information out of him here. We just talked to Sergeant McPhillips about your criminal pooch. What's your name, madam?
Pixie.
Of course. And what's the name of this criminal teeny tiny pooch that's peeking out of your closed coat?
Her name's Mary Jane.
How old is this vicious mongrel?
7 weeks.
And have you been threatened with a ticket?
Kind of, not directly.
And, well, I know we just talked to Sergeant McPhillips and Officer Klein, and they told us that it's his understanding that he could give a ticket for that pooch if he wanted to. And I said I thought it was if the dog was being walked on the mall, but he said no, just on the mall. So you may want to check that out in the municipal code section, which he gave you a copy of. It's available at the public library and also at the law library, which is in the basement of the county building. Anything you've noticed in the last few days? I heard there's been something of a crackdown. Is that accurate? Have you noticed a crackdown?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's that all about?
Cause stuff.
Sorry?
Basically, I guess they want to make their point clear that because someone's starting to roll around or something like that, we're going to put our foot down. Go take charge.
And who's been taking charge? What's been happening? Give us some of the specifics.
They took out the benches.
Right, noticed that.
Pacific Cookie Company.
Any tickets you've noticed or hassles?
Not that
Kitty
I've noticed.
Kitty on the mall.
Yes, you
questions. No, cats are allowed, actually. Okay, we're on the line with Green Party activist Thomas Levitt, also a notorious defender of the civil rights of homeless people and a former member of the Homeless Issues Task Force. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Robert.
So it's sorry to drag you up at the ungodly hour of 15 to 1, but somebody had to do it, you know.
Yep.
So you went to the monthly Green Party assembly, which happens,
yep,
I guess, every Saturday at Loudoun Nelson Center, 4 to 6, Saturday, right?
Yes, I believe it's second Saturday on a consistent basis.
Now, I haven't been to any of these meetings in the last couple of months because, frankly, I felt like I was running in mud at the Green Party, although there were some things done when some Green Party members, I call them the grassroots Greens, became interested in Camp Paradise, and they were able to pass a couple of resolutions, though. I guess Fitzmaurice blocked the most recent resolution right before in December. He was chairing the meeting, or
he just, well, as an individual member, he expressed a blocking concern, and then there was a dialogue about the utility or vagueness of the propositions, and it's been my intention to come back and get on the agenda formally, you know, not just do this at the emergency, so we can be able to discuss this, etc. And
the resolution was something about supporting a potential a tent city or a significant sort of mass response if city council fails to restore human rights for homeless people, that sort of thing. Was that it? Or
I cannot remember all the details at this point. And so, as a result of that, I decided to come back at a later point with a much more specific set of things. Unfortunately, you know, the party has had some internal issues with regards to the level of communication about the meeting in which you actually have to attend in order to get something to be put on the agenda. And, you know, yesterday I kind of got a clarification on how that works, but it's still, I think there's still an issue there in terms of, like, the transparency of that.
It seems like a kind of a convoluted process. I know the Homeless Issues Working Group of the Green Party hasn't met for many, many months, even though...
Yes, I was at the meeting, and Linda LeMaster... Mm-hmm. And Nicholas Whitehead have been discussing having a meeting, and they have a proposal which isn't fully formed yet to investigate and identify all the properties that the county owns which are not in use, I guess, with the eye to turning them into something that homeless people can use.
All right, what about the city?
Again, I believe that this isn't fully formulated yet.
There is such a list at the city manager's office, which I guess that's one of the few accomplishments of Christopher Crone. He was able, after, you know, to press the city manager, at least he takes credit for it. I don't know if it is really his doing that did it, but in November, the city manager issued a list of all city-owned property. And it's, you know, it's quite extensive, and I've actually passed it on to Camp Paradise's Larry Templeton and their attorney Chris Fredrickson to discuss. How big was the Green Party meeting yesterday?
The Green Party meeting was about 15 to 20 people. The other thing that happened in there is we discussed Linda LeMaster and I and another gentleman, Fiddler on the Green.
Mm-hmm.
Were there, and we discussed the need of people to show up on Tuesday to let the city council know that, you know, we're watching them and ensure that this minor change to restore the camping ordinance to the state that everybody thought it's been since it was, quote-unquote, liberalized in 1999.
The three-day limits, only applying to driveways, in other words.
Yes. To make sure that that actually passes. And there was general agreement that this was a good idea. And, you know, the thing is, I think the Green Party is very sympathetic to homeless issues, but it simply has to be the things that we ask them to do actually have to come to them through their standard working process, which is, you know, kind of non-transparent at this point due to, I'm not sure what, but you have to get to this meeting called the Steering Working Group meeting in order to get an item placed on the regular agenda. And the last two times I've thought about this, it's been rescheduled and moved around, and because X person couldn't be there, or Y person couldn't be there, or something else was happening, and you know, it just makes it much more difficult to get to a meeting when it's not, and it's a regular place at a regular time.
Was Fuhrer Fitzmaurice at the Green Party meeting?
The former mayor was not at the Green Party meeting, no.
You know, I mean, I applaud you and the Fiddler and Linda for, you know, in trying to sort of get folks to come to the council meeting, which is, by the way, in the afternoon for those who are interested.
Yeah, 3 o'clock meeting.
I think it's item number 20 on the council agenda, camping ordinance amendments.
Now, is this on the consent agenda?
No, it's an ordinance for publication, so they actually have to throw a public hearing. And in fact,
it's probably democratic to have a public hearing right in the middle of the working day.
Right, good point. But you actually, you have an interesting in here. It has traditionally been the case, maybe even be mandated by some kind of process somewhere, that at a public hearing, individuals have 3 minutes and organizations have five. Particularly if you contact Crone in advance, and say, oh, I don't know, you're with, Huff, or you want to speak on behalf of another organization, then you can talk for 5 minutes. And of course, this is an opportunity to speak not so much to the non-existent crowd, but this chance to the television audience. And, you know, I think what really needs to be said, what I would like to do with my 5 minutes, if I can get 5 minutes, is play, I don't know if you probably haven't been listening, but I've been doing the show since 10 o'clock this morning, and I've been playing the early remarks of Crone at the council meeting back in February and March of 1999, actually March, which he was a big supporter of ending the sleeping ban. Now, of course, he can't put one word in front of another on that subject and hasn't got much to say about it. But I would find it interesting to have him hear his own words and Sugar's words, too, which were very eloquent.
Do you think that they'll, like, cut you off because this is relevant to the actual item that's on the agenda?
Well, I would point out that it is an amendment to the camping ban that I think it's appropriate to say this doesn't go far enough.
Yes, no kidding.
And, I mean, not only is it true, but I think it's relevant to the discussion, that it is appropriate to say you need to amend it, because this is an occasion when it can be amended, to include striking sections 6.36010A and B, the blanket and the sleeping bans. And you need to amend the section C so there are permissible areas to camp. That this is...
There's another thing I'd point out.
So I do think it is relevant, yeah.
Somebody, and I'm not exactly sure who, mentioned that they had spoken with the mayor, and that the mayor had suggested that it would be better if not a lot of attention was drawn.
And, you know, I don't know that there actually has been much attention. In fact,
I don't think there's been much attention.
Right, I mean, I think the Sentinel has been silent, because the main reason that there hasn't been attention is because I think the case has been pretty well made that these were, in fact, these changes that are being made are simply putting back the situation to the way it was before Barisoni made his inopportune change in the law. He screwed up the language, I think.
Yes.
And the councils then added to the confusion by ratifying his screw-up, but they clearly didn't mean it the way they did, because the police were notified otherwise, and there has been no three-day restriction for the last 3 years. It just suddenly came up when Kennedy proposed this bogus liberalization, which isn't really a liberalization around the... He actually had another liberalization in mind, I believe. He was going to make it so you could sleep on church property or camp on church property, not in a vehicle, which would have been, not a large...
Well, if you...
But that was not done.
Yeah, I've been watching that particular issue, play out in New York. Have you heard about that?
The issue of the churches being hassled for having homeless people in them or near them?
Yes. So some kind of court decision played out there that said that homeless people cannot sleep on the sidewalk in front of the church, but the city has no right or business to prohibit them from being allowed to sleep on the actual property, the premises, the steps, the against the wall of the church.
When did this decision come down?
You know, I read it in the paper, and it was probably a couple months ago.
I know. I
think that this Kennedy liberalization, if there's a church willing to do it, they might just go ahead and do it, and then, you know, point out that it's unconstitutional to prohibit a church from exercising its moral conscience and freedom of religion.
Indeed. Well, I think the problem is not that there's a that the law has a gray area there, although the churches may be reluctant for that reason, but
yeah.
That there isn't, I mean, for example, it's been legal to have vehicles parked on church property for, well, since 1995.
And how many of them are doing that?
I think less than 12, and you've got 250 churches in the Santa Cruz area. I mean, probably not that many in city limits, but I would guess 50 to 75 churches within Santa Cruz city limits, although I'm not sure of that.
Yeah.
What's needed, of course, is a governmental effort. And who knows, maybe this violates the First Amendment, but because I know there was a ruling down in Santa Barbara about the necessity defense, which said you can't send people to churches to listen to forced sermons as an alternative to getting tickets, saying, here's your
right.
Shelter alternative,
yeah.
You can't do that. But there have been proposals at the city council level, even those passed on to the city manager, even those given by Christopher Crone, that all private property be investigated by some city officials, and that would include church property,
uh-huh.
For possible legal parking spots for folks to go to.
A coordinating office or something.
Yeah, like I think they have that there could be kind of a joint public-private partnership here. Michael Schmidt has talked about that.
That would make too much sense, Robert.
That's true. We don't want to make too much sense.
That would be facilitating homelessness in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, you don't want to facilitate people being able to sleep in their vehicles, and we know what they really need is a decent house and a living wage.
Yes,
yeah.
The whole dialogue on that is just totally astonishing to me. Marty Warmhout basically said the same thing to the Green Party. You know, it's part of this weird Santa Cruz thing where, we can't do something that's, basic and simple that will, allow people to preserve a small amount of their dignity and have
a
minimal level of safety and health, because what we really need to do is we really need to provide them with the full solution and, make sure that there's no homelessness at all. And,
that's obviously a spurious reason because,
bizarre.
Yeah, what it really is it's an attempt to fob off humanitarian concerns by saying, we're even more humanitarian. But the reality is that they'll spend vast amounts of money on the police and on the Poganip restoration, but they won't spend that kind of money on, and even taking steps toward affordable housing. You'll get less affordable housing,
I think a lot of, a prime example of, priorities is that, the people passed the Proposition L, and there goes $10 million, most of which, of course, is going to come out of social services and, things that serve poor people. And then right afterwards, the Regional Transportation Commission passes the thing saying, we're going to put something on the November ballot to increase the sales tax by a half cent to pay for widening Highway 1. So, we can raise taxes to widen Highway 1, but, we can't defend our existing tax base to support social services.
Well, wait a minute, I thought L was defeated and that the...
No, it passed.
Well, I know L did pass.
It did pass, yes.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Was that the last-minute absentee ballots, or...?
No, my understanding from the beginning was that it passed overwhelmingly, with 56% of the votes, so the absentees were irrelevant.
Well, my understanding is that L was defeated significantly. The first reports were it was defeated by about
I don't know, 2 or 3%, and I'm not sure what the story is. Maybe a caller can call in. I always thought it was a somewhat bogus issue because the courts have ruled that even if L is defeated, the courts will rule that you can't, you know, appropriate tax in this way, in the way that the city council did.
This was the supervisors.
I know. The board of supervisors can't do that either. So I thought it was sort of a bogus issue anyway. And also, you know, although I realize that conservatives like to do this and say, well, you can always cut the fat and cut the bureaucrats. There are plenty of bureaucrats I would like to see cut, and I'd like to see the money rerouted. There's a huge amount of the budget that can be put into social services that isn't because it's being used to pay for, I don't know, Susan Muriel's trips, lunches, and perks, and I could do without.
Well, you know, the other thing that's kind of educational is to sit there and read through the consent agenda and see the city handing out, like, $100,000 single-source contracts to vendors for, like, concrete or $20,000 for this. And
well, you know, this is actually something we can talk about on the city council agenda on Tuesday. In fact, I'd love to meet with you and sit down and kind of run through some of these items. I have the agenda. I don't have the staff reports, but that you can look at in the library. The last time, of course, I drew these up. First, they cut me my time back. I think first it was to 2 minutes, then to 1 minute, then to 30 seconds. Then they put it all at the end of the evening at 11 o'clock. Anything to stop discussion of these consent agenda items. And indeed, my focus was on the fact that they were taking away money from, you know, even giving a pittance to, let's say, a low-income campground or, you know, some kind of interim shelter services or something, or even a peace bridge, which I've talked about today. Rather than a peace park, I've suggested, how about a peace bridge? Homeless people could actually walk across on Highway 1. You could have a bust of Doug Rand on the top of the bridge if you want. You know, that's fine with me. I don't care. But, you know, I'd like to see things other than symbolic efforts. And by the way, was there any talk about the war at this Green Party that's so concerned about peace? Did anybody have a resolution for any of these clowns in power?
I don't believe that we actually passed any resolutions at this meeting. The primary discussion was the, results of the election and the implications for the Green Party.
Didn't the Green Party mistakenly endorse Marty Worm Out, as I call her, if she worms out of this and that?
I would kind of find it hard to state that a 97% endorsement was a mistake in terms of mistakenly. I believe, of course, that it was an error. It's not that I'm tremendously enthusiastic about, you know, Mark Premack.
Or Michael Schmidt.
Michael has displayed a level of commitment, but, you know, there were other issues that concerned me. But, you know, clearly Marty's position on the camping ban and her response, you know, is in direct contradiction to, other activities and statements that the Green Party has made and other conditions that the Green Party has put on an endorsement. And, you know, I think what it comes down to is that people have to be there. I think the Green Party is a great tool for, activists in terms of getting their agenda forward. But people have to actually show up and display leadership. And unfortunately, in my case, I was not there when we did the endorsements, and neither was David Silva, who has been, like, you know, the man for many years in keeping the Green Party's conscience and activism focused on homelessness issues.
Now, Do or Die David recently put out an email which he talked about the need to recall or impeach Ed Porter.
Yes.
Because Ed, I don't see why you wouldn't do the same with Tim Fitzmaurice, who's an even more high-profile Green, and even worse, much worse than Ed Porter, or significantly worse.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I tend, as a cynic, I write it off to the personal relationship between Fitzmaurice and David. And he likes Tim better than he does Ed, but that's probably not true. I mean, he has a rather tangled rationale that Ed actually did this commitment to, at the last election, that he was going to end the sleeping ban and do it forthwith, and he agreed to this, and then he broke all his agreements.
Just like every other city council member who's committed to ending the sleeping ban, or indicated they were in favor of ending the sleeping ban or repealing it or significantly amending it, you know, et cetera.
Except for that unelected council member, Thomas Lovett, who has not yet taken his seat.
Yes. Well, you know...
We're talking, by the way, to you, Thomas Lovett, in case you just tuned in, listeners. Thomas is a Green Party Assembly fellow, as well as a person who's been active. You actually come to a few Huff meetings recently.
Yes.
And I know, have you been able to get Huff on the peace and justice calendar yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't spoken to Paul yet. I had like a major activity at my house yesterday that prevented me from like putting a lot of time into things.
Did Paul show up at the Green Party meeting?
Or? Yes, he did.
Oh, he was threatening not to. I know that.
And then afterwards, we had another urgent issue. But I'm gonna try and figure out what is going on there and
deal with it.
See if I can. Yes.
Yeah, one of the problems with the Green Party is, and I'd like to see, you know, there's been a lot of hostility, I believe, to Huff activists like myself and Becky, who want to hold the Green Party's, you know, to the nose to the grindstone and you know, butt to the fire on the issue of Fitzmaurice and other Green Party hacks.
I think there's a lot of issues there. As you know, Robert, you and Becky tend to have a slightly polarizing effect.
Well, fuck you, man. Go ahead.
What I'm going to try and do is see if I can get David, you know, out from South County, if his health permits, you know, up to a Green Assembly meeting and get myself to one of those steering working group meetings. You know, ones in which you actually get to frame the agenda.
This sounds like a hapless task. I'm going to spare our listeners any further discussion here, unless you really want to talk about it. I mean, this is all pretty much kind of arcane internal Green Party politics. My general response to the Green Party is that they have, you know, they were very bad. They've been very bad for 3 years on civil rights issues. They got better because they got interested in Camp Paradise, and they actually passed a few resolutions last fall, but you know, they are not a group that an activist should really... I disagree with you. I don't think activists get very far with the Green Party. But, you know, who knows? I could be wrong. And I also think that... I guess more important is this... You're thinking of some kind of a summit at your spacious, palatial place on Brantsa 40, having successfully wined and dined and won Emily Riley after you did your kickoff party for Emily. A year ago. Now you're thinking of doing a kickoff party for the sleeping ban repeal people, or whatever we're going to call ourselves?
Yes.
A summit of all the great minds and bodies of our generation, the great consciences of the town. That's right.
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's and then be happening sometime in April or May?
Yes, sometime in late April, sometime in early May. I'm going to assemble the leading lights on these issues and re-energize everyone to attack the sleeping ban and the blanket ban and really push the entire agenda forward, you know, and make it impossible for you know, the city council not to do anything, because the community as a whole, the citizens of this town, will be you know, educated and aware of the terrible injustice of, you know, these laws.
Criminalizing sleep, for heaven's sake.
Yes.
Exactly. Thomas, you've written some rather pointed and pertinent letters, some would call impertinent letters, to city council members in the last few months around these issues. Are they all gathered in any one place on a website where people can go to read them if they want? Perhaps you'll do that.
Yes, that is a good idea. I do keep copies of most of those documents, and I think it might be educational.
But so if you want to hear this, man...
Considering that I almost never get a response.
Right. Well, I think you might get more of a response from the community than the council.
Yes.
And if you want to read Thomas Lovett's writings, I guess what you can do is call up Huff at 423-HUFF, and as soon as you get that website up, Thomas, or let us know, I'll put that on the Huff message, and you can folks can be directed there.
Awesome.
I will be trying to contact you after the show, which will be ending in about 20 minutes. Anything you want, any other announcements you want to make about anything?
Nope, not at this time.
Okay. Thanks for being on the air, and right. Apologize for waking you up.
No, that's okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And you're still tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Hey, a real phone call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert. John.
Hey there, John. Aren't you one of those people that takes a chair downtown and sits around Yuppie Planter without permission?
Yeah, I went down there actually in front of the cookie company yesterday to try a different approach to handing out flyers. Just set up the chair where the bench used to be.
Raise your voice a little bit, John.
Set up the chair where the bench used to be and...
in front of the cookie company.
In front of the cookie company and hand out the flyers with my voter registration card just in case I get hassled, but whatever. I wanted to announce that a couple of things. First of all, the Progressive Federation is having their meeting this afternoon at 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at 315 Mission Street. It's that big blue house at the corner of Mission and Highway 1 right there.
What is this Progressive Federation, John? You want to give us a capsule summary?
Basically, it's trying to unite some of the leftist organizations in town around common causes such as ending the sweeping ban and livable wage and all that good stuff, basically. Mm-hmm. Trying to get more people out in the streets when we want to have a protest and stuff like that.
And I guess the number for that, if I'm not mistaken, is 429-8012?
Yeah, or they can also leave a message at 425-4467.
Okay.
That's the